Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the 37th and 38th verses of the gospel lesson, where we read, "And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." Thus far the text. In the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior, my dear Christian friends and brothers, the gospel lesson for today gave us a vast spectrum of Jesus' work and ministry. The healing of the sick, preaching, caring for people in other needs. And yet the one thing that he specifically mentions as being the all-consuming thing of his work is the preaching. That's why you and I are here in such an institution, primarily. In order to train us to be pastors and in the forefront of that pastoral work, to train us to preach, to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. To preach repentance and remission of sin. Epiphany is a time particularly to think of the preaching of the gospel to those who still sit in darkness. But for us, it's a time to think also, with the winter quarter shortly ending, that there will be those who will be graduating and going forth to proclaim the word. Perhaps some even in such situations where people are not really acquainted with Jesus Christ. Among these, at various times, our men go forth into the foreign mission fields of our church. A very few even into the foreign mission field amongst the American Indians. The oldest mission field of our synod, and yet perhaps of all of them the least successful. Not because nothing has been tried, perhaps many times because it has been tried in the wrong way. Difficult also because of the nativistic influences that must constantly be met. The disciples came and found Jesus when he had removed himself from the multitudes in order to spend time in prayer. And we sang the hymn, "Thou who the night in prayer didst spend." It's indicative to us that we need to spend a lot of time as pastors and missionaries in prayer also before we go forth to preach and proclaim, in order that we do not do it for ourselves, but that we do it for him who lived and died and rose again from the dead and lives through all eternity for us and for all men. For those who seek him and know not that they seek him. The apostles came to Jesus and said, "All men seek after you." Now they were referring specifically to the people there who were looking for Jesus, trying to find out where he had disappeared to. But man, ever since the fall, has been looking for a way to get right with God and has come up with all kinds of different ways and has never found it. Men are still this way today. The American Indian is. He looks to a plurality of gods or spirits. Among the Navajo, there are the various things that are held, each one for a specific illness. Each one in order to restore harmony between man and nature, between man and man, and between man and his God. It's been referred to as a beautiful and a peaceful service. And in a sense it is, and it has a lot of pageantry involved with it. But afterwards, the same despair sets in again, because each time something goes wrong, the same type of thing must be gone through again in order to appease the God. they know not that they have a Savior who died once for all, that they can live and live in peace and joy. And so they seek after him and find him not. And that's the job that the Christian church has today right here in our own nation. To proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised again from the dead for the American Indian as the God and Savior of the Indian, not just a white man's God and Savior, but for them also. The world of demons is very real among many of the American Indians. At numerous times when I was investigating the witchcraft cult, I found hexes fastened outside my office. Twice, I was directly cursed. A friend of mine who lived at the Pueblo of Zuni was cursed four different times by the snake priestess and told that he would die because he had broken taboos. And his answer was, "My God is stronger than your God. You go ahead and do whatever you want to." And it's this God, the God who is above all gods, as Scripture tells us, who has given himself for us, who has entrusted to us the proclamation of his holy name. You young men who are studying here, preparatory to going into the office of the holy ministry, God alone at this time knows where you will be going, but wherever you go, there is the necessity to do that very thing which Jesus proclaimed here he must do, to go over into the neighboring towns and to preach, "For therefore have I come." You have come here in order to prepare yourself, or return here as some of us have, to prepare ourselves more fully for this high and holy work, to stand in the presence of God pleading for his people, and to stand before the people proclaiming our God and Savior to them. May God grant that in our hearts and minds, among all the peoples of the world who are still without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world, in the forefront of these may be those who are closest to us, those in our own nation, the American Indians. And may God bless our Synod as it strives to make a greater outreach among them. And may it make us mindful whether we serve them directly or whether we pray for them and cause congregations to be concerned about them, that these who were here before us may not be left behind us when it comes to the proclamation of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.